Welcome to the World Cup Report Alicante, podcast covering the Blood Bowl World Cup held in Alicante, Spain in September 2023, with your hosts, Drew and Steve.
Welcome to World Cup Report Alicante, episode 36. This is Tim, aka Vitamin D, and with me, as always, is Steve Campbell, Kilowoggy.
How's it going, Steve? There you go. Look at that. You're a big boy now.
I was going to say I'm a big boy now. Look at me. Travel around the world, and now I'm out on my own.
You know, truthfully, this is the first time I've traveled alone on a big scale like this.
Oh, yeah?
Because last time, Scott Hess and I went out together and then pretty much came back together. So,
sure.
You know, I didn't have to navigate most of the airport stuff and everything on my own, but this time I did, got dropped off, did everything on my own, had a whole day to myself in Madrid, and then met up with everyone, made my way back. It was truly a big boy moment, even though I'm older than hell, so.
Always time for firsts.
Exactly. If you're not learning, you're dying.
That's right. Like my first ever World Cup.
There you go.
Now completed. World Cup 5. Man. Over. We did it.
It feels...
Where all the reporting got us.
It feels surreal, as it always does.
Yeah.
For something that you, you know, put so much time and effort into thinking about, into planning, into just having an expectation of it, and then now it's over.
Yeah, it's done. Crazy. Who knows when the next one, where the next one will be, but
I think
now is kind of our time to talk about some of the specifics of this one and generally
absolutely
how it went for us and what we did.
Yeah, I think this is going to be more of a general episode, not get into too much of specifics. They did just release the information today, so that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
So we can touch on that.
Yeah, they had a bit of a, I guess, very Spanish delay of doing all that hard work, which they did an excellent job on, and then, you know, taking a moment for themselves and their families, and then getting out to the results, so.
Yeah, that is definitely one criticism, not to start off with a negative, but you brought it up. One of the main criticisms of the event was just the communication and the lack thereof.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I know a ton of people wanted to know what was going on from outside the purview of the World Cup, and there was just no way to get info.
Sure, and I mean, even from in the World Cup, there were times I was worried about not having enough info.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all those things worked out, so, you know, hats off to them. There weren't any problems, but there were several times I felt like, I hope I have all enough of the right information here for what I'm doing, because I don't feel like I definitely know.
Yeah. I think we also lucked out when it came to transportation. Our bus was pretty easy. It got us there early, but, I mean, that's not a huge deal to me. I did hear a lot of rumblings that other people were not so fortunate. They had issues with buses, or they were complaining that they had to get to the venue an hour and a half before the first game or whatever.
Sure. Yeah, we had pretty good timing on our bus, I would say.
So let's just, I guess, start off with the actual event itself, how our view of it went and what we thought. I thought things went a lot better than I expected, honestly.
Yeah, I guess if we're just doing kind of general overall, I would say, like, I don't have any real complaints. They really did a great job. They pulled it off with only very, very minor problems, and especially after, you know, some of the big hiccups in the last World Cup that was definitely a concern going into this to me that would happen again, and it certainly did not.
Yeah, the possibility of last time happening again, and then also, again, this comes to the lack of communication. It didn't feel like things were going to be pulled off as well as they were. You know, we had the opening ceremony on Thursday at a place that was not the venue, which was fine, but that meant that the day of the venue, we had to get checked in and grab our stuff and everything that caused a delay and slowness. But it wasn't horrible.
Yep. Yeah, there's a bit of a queue getting in there. But I thought the way they did the giveaway stuff was much better than what it sounded like last year. It was just like a bag of everything that you just took.
Yeah.
There was no picking out this and that and multiple people and multiple lines. It was just like one bag go.
Yeah, so last time had issues. Well. I think the last time's main issue was the skill bases. Great concept, but it just ended up being a pain in the butt. And then we had to go through a line and get the special ones and get it for your squad and all this. And just, it was a nightmare. But this was good, just grabbing the stuff. I think there's better ways to do it, and we shall see how that comes for the next time. But, I mean, certainly, again, we started a little late, but it wasn't insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were a little behind their schedule to start, but not by that much. And honestly, we just started early too. That was kind of weird. Like they were not very, very much sticklers on the start time. So you could just get going whenever you wanted. It was very weird, but
which I liked. So another thing that I thought was going to be a negative that actually turned into a rather big positive, I think, is the amount of time between rounds.
Yeah.
You know, looking at the initial schedule and being like, there's a lot of time in between rounds, including the fact that each round was like 2.5 hours long. So
in
it was
the
like,
first place, yes.
That's long to begin with. So we're going to finish early. And then we have a lot of time in between rounds. But I was talking to someone at this one. And even though it had, you know, almost twice as many people as the last one, I felt like I was actually able to interact with more people this time.
Yeah. No, I'd agree. Yeah, there was definitely that time in between rounds to kind of run into people and, you know, meet people that you know or didn't know, trade dice, whatever.
Yeah.
There was definitely some time in there to interact for sure.
Oh, and speaking of, huge shout out to everyone who came up to us and said they enjoyed the podcast. We really do appreciate it. We don't get huge downloads, but it's good to know that people out there are enjoying it. So that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great. I mean, everybody who came up and had a nice comment like that or wanted to take a picture or whatever, it was awesome. I know my 7-year-old daughter thought it was the best. It's like, oh, man, my dad's a celebrity. Yeah.
I mean,
like I have dozens of fans, I guess.
We are niche, but we are, there. So,
yes. That was very fun.
Do we want to talk more about the actual running of the event, or you want to go into something else? Because, I mean, we can hit the positive and negatives, or we can save that for a future episode.
Sure. I don't know. I thought maybe kind of go through the sort of the rounds and the days and stuff.
Yeah, go for it.
You want to start with just kind of the kickoff event or anything before that?
I mean, the kickoff event was kind of, I want to say worthless, but
there wasn't a lot to it, which I don't mind.
No,
I'd rather it took like 10 minutes than an hour, but there wasn't a lot of purpose to it. It was cool to be there with that many coaches and whatever.
For those who don't know, which is probably a lot of you, we basically just had a meeting at the dock where everyone showed up to a stage. And the organizers came up and said, hey, we're the organizers, and this is the ref crew, and this is a person from Alicante, and thanks for being here, enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and that was kind of that, so.
That's fine.
To the point.
I mean, we could have done that the day of, but, you know. Yeah. And it makes sense to be there, since that was kind of a centralized location for most people.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of people were in that kind of Playa del Mar area like we were. So, easy to get to.
But. Yeah. So, after that, we basically just did the next day and started.
Yeah.
There wasn't really anything before the round. I mean, there's a little bit like, hey, everybody, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and get started. You know?
Yeah. And We didn't have our opponent announced the last time we recorded, right? I mean, we knew it in advance, but I don't think
No, we did not. That was a very big episode where we made it predictions as to who our opponent would be.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know you had the off-the-wall prediction that we would play a U.S. team, which came true.
Which indeed came true, yes.
Yeah, very strange. But yeah, we played Ordo Fanaticus, a U.S. team out of the Oregon area,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Washington area.
Yeah.
The Northwest. Okay. But
yeah, the Northwest. I thought they were more Oregon, and the other team from up there was more Washington. But it was probably a mix of both on both.
Probably,
teams, I
yeah.
Imagine so. We started, I think, table 128, so round halfway ish.
Yeah,
definitely a spot we wanted to move up from and not get back to, ideally.
Yeah, and not so much.
Yeah, well, we started with the draw. In the end, so we had a 3-win, 3-loss draw with those guys. I know my match was very close to, honestly, a win for me or a draw, but it ended up as a loss. And I think your match, you had a play at the end to draw as well. And
yeah, I had a couple of plays where it was basically a dice roll of a 4+ that would have got me the win or the tie, I guess.
And then would have been a team win.
Yeah.
But
But that's Blood Bowl, you know?
Yes, right.
And, I mean, when I'm not causing casualties and getting casualties against me, that's kind of how life works.
Yeah, and I think you had a Norse mirror match in the
first
match, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did not bode well.
Sure. So, so we started with a draw, which wasn't ideal, but still undefeated. And then they moved into kind of we finished really early because we started so early. Mm-hmm. So and they had like an hour and a half for our hour 45 for lunch anyway, too. So it was really confusing, I thought, where the lunch queue for like the ticketed included lunch was with the paella thing.
Yeah.
And then when we finally figured it out, it was like outside and like 30 minutes long, at least in the midday Spanish sun.
Yeah, so this was part of the whole communication issue again.
Yeah.
Is there was not good communication as to where stuff was.
Right.
I, however, started my weekend love affair with the jamon sandwich at the deli.
Yes. Yeah, I went to that deli as well, but there's a little bit of a language thing, so I just told him to give me whatever Drew ordered, and he didn't know what he was ordering. So I think it was like Spanish omelets on a sandwich, which were good but very strange. It was like a potato pancakey thing on bread.
I don't know exactly what that's called, but Core says that's one of his favorite sandwiches.
Sure. I mean, they were good. I just pulled it apart, though, really.
Yeah, I saw they had ham sandwiches, and I was like, I'm getting a ham sandwich, and the bread was really good, the ham's good, and I was like, I'm just going to keep doing that.
And cheap.
Yes.
Like, theme of the whole Alicante area, very affordable.
Surprisingly so. Like, some of the restaurants we went to, a little high, but we also were on the boardwalk and going to fancier places, so that kind of happens.
Yeah, and even for that, it was like the price of a moderate price here, not an expensive place, you know?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Hyper out there.
Like, if I remember correctly, the jamon sandwich was like $4. And that's a good size sandwich. And when I say bucks, it's euros.
Yeah.
But
at a convention center.
At a convention center, exactly.
You get a sandwich at like Gen Con, it's like $10.
I got a bag of chips. Like, I waited all weekend, but they had jamon chips. I'm like, I want to try that. Mm-hmm. They were €3.20.
Right. You could have just got a sandwich.
It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And the sodas were like €2, which isn't.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Not for convention pricing.
No,
yeah,
definitely not. Good. Like, you go to any American convention, it's like, oh, welcome, you are held hostage. So, did you want a soda? That's
$7.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you want a crappy sandwich? Well, that crappy sandwich is $12.95.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah, this was not that way, which is great. And they had also like some food truck vendors too, and the queue line that you could be in that was included. So it's a good mix of options, including that deli that was built into the convention. So
it was very nice.
Yeah. So then we, after that long lunch break, we went on to round two. We played a Spanish team called Averno Legends at table 85. So we moved up a fair bit, like 40 spots or 40 tables. So really a lot. This was my favorite team we played, I guess. They were super high energy from what the lady I played said. They're like, a lot of them were related, or like, this was so-and-so's boyfriend, and this is my sister, who they tricked into playing in the tournament, who didn't know what was going to happen. And
so
they were very fun.
This was the guy who does Dirty Market. It does those custom dice cups that are amazing.
Amazing.
So it was awesome to see that.
Make sure we mention them. So, this ldirtymarket.com, their die cups are unbelievable.
Oh, they're
fantastic.
Yeah. They're pricey, and they did have a wait because of World Cup, but it's probably slowed down now. Mm-hmm. Well worth it. And if you like dice cups, I've not seen anything nicer.
Yeah, I've never seen a better one. The one that the lady I played had, I think it's her boyfriend who does them. Yeah,
it is.
And I mean, you know, obviously he made like a premium, amazing one for his girlfriend with like old dragon thing on it. It was so awesome.
So
very cool.
This round, I played a woman by the NAF name Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
And she was the aforementioned one who was tricked into playing.
Yeah.
And she's very nice, very sweet, very new, had some confusion as to how to do some stuff. We had a language barrier that didn't help sometimes. Biggest issue here is she is the primary reason that my coach level for tiebreakers was so low.
Because
she finished pretty low. Very low.
Yeah.
And no fault to her, you know, she's new, but it hurts someone like me who ultimately didn't have a great weekend. So I'm just hoping for tiebreakers, and tiebreaker is coach score. And that's going to be dependent on how good of coaches you played. And she was very low. So even though I had the same record as a lot of people I know, they were above me because they had higher coach scores.
Sure.
So kind of sucked, but it's a win. So I took it.
Yeah. And I don't know how much you looked at like the turn marker things they gave us. I thought they were really cool. Cause they have like six different skulls on them, and they sort of represent the six different races they were all playing.
I did not realize that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, lady I was playing lizards and pointed out to me, I was there like, one of them's this lizard skull, and I guess they're supposed to be all the skulls for the team.
That's really cool.
Yeah. But we ended up winning that round. Three wins, two draws, and a loss. So doing pretty well, I would say, that round.
That was a good one.
And I think Drew was at 2-0 at that point, too. So he'd won both rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So after them, we went on to round three, which was, I believe, a rematch for you guys who went last time with the Babali staff feats faux fur. Yeah, there you go. At table 50. I think you guys had played them last year, and they were the team that early on gave you like an 0-6 loss.
I don't know if that's correct.
Okay. Somebody told me that.
Right. And I'm not disagreeing that it could be, but
maybe it was a different Babali team.
I was thinking it was Talayan Masters or.
Oh, Masters of Talaya?
Masters of Talaya, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
but
they're good.
Again, we'd have to look at last time and see. Yeah, anyway. And that's not easy to find anymore.
Sure. Well, whether this was a repeat of that or not, it ended up as largely a repeat of that, where we lost five matches and had one draw. So not a good round whatsoever.
That was not great. That was a rough way to end the first day.
Yeah, real downer. So we went from like one win, one draw, undefeated, table 50, pretty good.
Yeah.
To crushing, embarrassing loss where only Drew got a draw and everybody else lost.
What was the squad name again?
Bilbali Staff Feats for Fur.
Bilbali Staff Feats for Fur. They came in 127th.
Yes, we finished ahead of them, in fact.
That's good.
So, yeah, I felt good about that in retrospect.
Kind of. I
mean, otherwise, we should have gotten crushed by him.
Yeah.
We were going to be ahead of him at the end.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious where they finished.
Yep.
Now, we did not end up playing Masters of Talaya, but they finished 23rd overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
always a
like, if
good
we,
squad.
If we did play them, they would have destroyed us, probably.
Likely.
But yeah. So 1-1-1 for the first day, it's not horrible. It's definitely not what we wanted.
Right. And like, that one loss was not close. It was a black mark, terrible loss.
Mm-hmm.
Which didn't deliver the kind of performance we wanted.
No.
I felt.
And again, it wasn't an 0-6 spanking like we got last time. It's certainly as close as you can get to it.
Right. Yeah.
But we seemed to recover. I mean, we took it kind of hard because it was like, well,
I did.
We would have liked to have been better than that the first day. But again,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to feel too bad when almost everybody loses. It's like...
Sure.
And these games, like, we're not getting into our specific games yet, mm-hmm. but I will say that these games were the craziest games.
Yeah, but yes. My game was so close to a draw.
I heard you tell your opponent, like, this game's pretty much over. And either I'm going to win, or you're going to pull off some of the craziest stuff I've ever seen, and somehow we'll tie. And then you ended up losing.
Yeah, yes.
And Chance, his opponent, was doing dodges, like 4 or 5 dodges in a row, with 2 dice up hills, and getting it multiple times.
Ugh, yeah.
And my guy, just everything he needed, he was getting. I couldn't get anything. Mm-hmm. It was the point that he was apologizing big time anytime I rolled dice, and I hate that.
Yep.
And it wasn't the last time this tournament that I had my opponent apologizing to me for my dice. I'm like, please stop. I know, but... So, unfortunately, end the first day 1-1-1.
Yes, yeah. Not exactly where we want to be, but I suppose even at least, so could
yeah,
be worse.
Exactly.
Yeah, the next day started with like a whole thing where Michael Lewis got on this big thing about making the world's longest pizza. I don't know, that kind of dominated the whole opening of the day.
Yeah,
how aware you were of that.
Yeah, it was on the bus drive-in, very much.
Yeah.
He was talking with someone else, talking about world's longest pizza.
Yeah, I think it was like Andrew. It was somebody from Team Drop Bear, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it was Andrew. But yeah, that went on and on. So... They want to, like, bid for World Cup to be in the U.S. next time and make, like, a mile-long pizza.
I'm not against
it. To go along with it.
I like pizza.
Yeah.
And then this was the day where the ham-owned sandwich became MVP, because I got one before the first round. I got
yes.
one before the second round. I got one before the third round. And
I had one at lunch.
Yeah, I mean, they're just good.
Yeah.
So first round of this day 2, what was the team name?
Yes, we played Escombrera Jose Luis at table 103, so moved down a lot after that crushing loss, but this turned into a big crushing victory where we won 5 of the matches, so everybody but Michael Lewis won, I believe.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was nice, but... See, they finished 106.
Yeah, and this was my best game of the whole tournament. Like, my game was a super blowout. It was not close.
Trying to think.
That was the only game I had like that. The rest of them were all, like, down to the last play, basically. Every single one. Win, lose, or draw. But not this one.
Yeah, I think this might have been the one I won 3-0.
Yeah, I won 4-0.
But, yeah, so It was very good to come off that bad loss and then have a dominant win. So
yes, yeah, yeah. Try and turn things around, get out of the the mid tables there, hopefully. I got like a super headache at the end of that match too, so then I was trying to like get some ibuprofen or whatever, and I ended up talking to Nate Beam, and he set me up with I think Siggy, who got me some something, so that was good.
That's good.
Yeah, that helped me out. And then I know that like they had the I think they had the Spanish omelet this time for the lunch, which apparently did not work out very well, because I know during my next round, one of the guys we were playing apologized for it and called it a national tragedy.
Yeah, the food was not good that weekend. I did not partake in any of it, surprisingly. But, I mean, I didn't want to waste the time. And then I knew, like, giant paella and giant omelet were not going to be great.
Sure. Hard to season effectively when you're making a huge thing.
Yeah. And everyone I talked to was like, no, it wasn't great. And small portions and just not worth the effort. And that's another negative on it. And unfortunately, it just seems like they went for kind of a gimmicky thing. Someone who makes giant stuff. And it didn't work out great.
But they did, to their credit, have all the other food vendors there who were good.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I didn't have any problems with the food. I just avoided that.
Exactly. I knew that going in, and I was like, I'm just going to get my sandwich and be happy.
Yeah. Yep. So then after that, we moved on to round three, where we played team 4FAJ. So kind of a license plate thing. I don't know what this stands for. But
yeah. We should have asked, because I thought...
Yeah, we should have asked. It has to be something.
Well, yeah. But I have no idea what.
No clue. But we played them at table 66, so moving back up, pretty good. Actually played Black Orcs this time, which, after as much as I disparaged them in the lead-up to this, I thought, like, I better not lose. This would be really embarrassing. But I ended up pulling out a very close draw, as we'll talk about in the future. But
yeah.
And then we had actually a very close win that round, winning two of the games and having three draws and one loss. So good thing I held on to that draw, or we would have had a tie.
I was one of the wins.
Yes. Yeah, it's awesome.
What was the team name again? Squad name?
It was number 4, letter F-A-J. 4FAJ, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to search for it in the list. Do you know where they finished?
I don't. I didn't look all that up. I should have.
No, I mean, there's no need. I mean, there's a lot of fours. That's probably a dumb choice. Yeah. F-A-J. Yeah, I'm trying to find them. I don't see them. So we'll have to figure that one out.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they didn't finish very well, because I swear I was looking at this, but this guy was one of my hardest matchups, so... I had a tough time of it.
Yeah. I'm just skimming and not seeing anything, so. No worries. We'll have more info about that later.
Yes. Yeah. So we won two of the rounds so far.
285. They finished 285.
Yeah. I mean,
so they did not do great.
Yeah. Especially for being at table 66 at one point.
Yeah.
Almost a nosedive.
They had 7 points overall.
They had to have close to that when we played them.
Did they lose everything after that?
They probably had like 5 or 6. So,
yeah.
Weird.
Huh, okay.
So I think we had, we would have had 2 wins when we played them, right? So
2 wins, a tie, and a loss.
We had 5 points then, so.
Yeah, they must have had 5 points at the same time. So they either got 2 ties after that, or 1 win and all the rest losses.
Yeah, I know that was a tough round. I thought so.
Huh. I mean, it sure was. I mean, we only got 2 wins off of them.
Right. In round 6, we moved up to table 42 and played Squad Terror Bowl, our first non-U.S. non-Spanish team from the U.K.
That's true.
And this one was another big crushing victory, where we won 5-1.
What was their name?
Squad
Terror Bull. Okay.
Yeah, Terror Bull.
Terror Bull. B-U-L-L. Yes. I gotcha. Yes. They finished number 306.
Oh, man, they must have not done anything after that. Crazy.
They had, again, 7 points. Yeah, they couldn't have.
Yeah.
They would have had 7 points when they played us.
When we played us, yeah.
And they would have lost the three after that.
Yeah, we took the wins right out of that, I guess. I don't know.
Jeez.
And this, round six here, was the first time Michael Lewis got started drinking a lot after he was 0-5. And finally, when he was 8 beers in at this match, he turned it around and pulled off a big win.
I didn't realize he was that drunk.
He didn't seem like it, but he looked like he was having even more fun than he usually does.
Yeah.
And they were small beers, so 8 of those is more like...
That's probably
like
true.
5. Yeah. I don't know. But that table almost broke on him, too. So, like, jeez, the table started collapsing in the middle of his match, and then the coach next to him had to, like, grab their drinks before it spilled all over everything. And
yeah, kind of
a crazy deal.
The equipment there was not the best. The seats... There's a lot of broken seats, but I will say they were comfortable, even though they didn't appear that they would be.
Yes.
It was weird.
I mean, they were like plastic lawn chair, basically, so.
Yeah, but
if
after
you play
sitting
Blood Bowl,
in
you know that's dicey.
Yeah, but sitting in them for 3 days, my butt never hurt.
No. No, they were definitely comfortable.
It was weird.
If you sat or moved the wrong way, they felt like they might just explode.
Yeah, if you tried to stay in the chair and just scoot it, you were going to break it.
Right, right.
So yeah, day two, we finished with 3 wins that day.
Yes,
that was amazing.
This was an awesome day. Yeah,
we were on a high. We were very happy. We were also very realistic. Like, now we're going to be playing some very tough opponents. So let's just hope we can do well.
Yeah, I'd like to at least get like a win and hopefully a win and a draw and equal what you guys did last time. Or we'll see.
Yeah, we can hope.
But, and this day, they finished so close to on time, I would almost call it a push on do they have an on-time finish.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that. Like,
I wouldn't call it a victory for me because they technically didn't, but they were like 10 minutes late this day.
Yeah.
Like, on something like this size, being only 5 or 10 minutes behind schedule... Like, that's real close to on time.
Yeah,
like,
I consider that a win, so I'm not too concerned. I was.
Well, we'll call it a push.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Overall, everything seemed to be going very well. There was no major hiccups. There was no having to reseat. There was no horrible problems. Was this the day that we heard the announcement basically saying, if your results are not in, it's going to be a 0-0?
Yes, I think so. And I actually wrote that down as one of my favorite things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that. Like, they announced, you know, they said they need the results put in, and then they gave them a little bit of time. Then they said, we need these put in or we're going to do 0-0. And they waited a little bit, and then they just announced, we're doing 0-0s.
Yeah.
There was not, like, more pleading or going to find people. It's like, you had enough chances. We got to move on.
No,
there's
for
too
sure.
Many people here to not do it that way. So I was very happy to see it go down like that.
It is nice when they actually hold people accountable.
Yeah. Yep. And I think the system worked okay with the team captains having to go in and get the results to match up and stuff. It generally seemed to work fine.
Yeah.
Didn't see a lot of conflicts. I think we had one time or two times maybe where like the casualties got flipped around or there was a little bit of question mark, mm-hmm. but nothing major.
It happens.
Yeah. So day three starts. Very excited. We're already at, we cannot be worse than even.
Yeah.
At least since we have 4 wins and a draw and a loss. So at minimum, we will be 500 for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Which we want to be over that, but
for
that
sure.
was kind of the minimum spot I wanted to be at, ideally. So it's nice to already have that ticked off. And we started at table 21, which was very good.
Which is awesome, yeah.
That was awesome, yeah. And we played a team called Los Galacticos, which was a very good team, but I would consider them to be very comparable team to us. I didn't feel like we were outclassed by any means.
No.
And I think the results kind of show that. We did lose falling just short. I think we had 1 win, 2 draws, and 3 losses. So it's kind of just a little bit off where we needed to be to win that one. But
yeah, and they ended up finishing 58th. So they were still a good team.
They finished pretty well. Yes. Yeah, they seemed like a good team, but I didn't feel like they were so good that we couldn't have won that match.
No. No.
I know, like, the one win we had, I think Nick won, like, 3-0 and just super destroyed the Dwarf team he played.
Yeah.
He got, like, a blitz and turned him over multiple times, and it snowballed into this giant crushing victory.
You know, it's Blood Bowl. I mean, you're 9 games, you're not going to go 9-0. Nobody went 9-0. No squad went 9-0.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
That happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also with this many people, it just seems like there's always that chance it could have, but
yeah,
it did not. This lunchtime, I think the thing was the ham sandwiches. So I just gave my tickets to Michael because they were letting you take multiples. If you had multiple tickets, they didn't care.
Yeah.
But I didn't eat that. I went to the ramen thing, which was, I feel like I got a comment on because the way they did stuff made no sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, you go up, you get a ticket with a number on it when you order. That seems very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, then you take your ticket and you kind of wait for them to call you. But you're not supposed to take your ticket. You're supposed to get the ticket from a person and hand it to the person right next to that person. And then they put the only copy of the ticket down on the table in front of them and make the stuff in the order they put it down there.
Yeah, that if that made no sense to you, you're correct, because that makes no sense.
So you have, like, nothing that says what number you have. And if you didn't give them the thing from, like, 1 foot away that they never should have gave you in the first place, they just don't start your stuff.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah, I did have a ham sandwich again.
Yeah, I should have done that.
I bought one, though, and not the free one because I didn't want to wait in line. I was like, I'll just pay the money.
Yeah, I mean, $4.
Yeah.
And plus, it's a known quantity. You know what it's like.
And from what I hear, that was the good choice.
Yep, it sounded that way. Michael actually did get me one, but I'd already eaten. I was busy, so. And then I could have eaten it like after the like round 8 match, after it sat on the table the whole time. But I decided I don't want to get sick on my super long flight home. I'd rather just not eat that.
Probably not, no.
So for round 8, we played Ben Masabi Lovers at table 44. So again, getting back in the right position, I feel like. These guys also felt to me like a very comparable team to us. But we did lose this round. We had 3 draws and 3 losses.
So they ended up going 96th overall. So
yeah, just ahead of us.
They are very comparable.
Yes, right. Even in result. Yeah. I think they lost round 9, I believe, so.
And this was not a good day for Steve. Like,
yeah.
The first 2 losses were so bad. Like, someone, I think Nick came over and was like, "Hey, how's it going?" I was just like, "No." He goes, "Okay, guy." Just left. And once I finished this game, I left my stuff on the table and was like, if someone wants to steal this, let them. I'm done.
Yeah, that's what you told me.
I'm like, we'll get into it when we get into it. But man, I talked to someone later on. They're like, "Oh, how's your day going?" I go, "I would like to punch a nun in the mouth." And it's like, oh, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, after the previous day, I finally felt like I was doing well. Like I was playing real coaches and getting wins. Mm. I was like, awesome, this is going well. And then this day, they were just horrible, horrible games. And again, we will get into that when we do the individual breakdown. But Norse should cause casualties. And when I tell you I got 16 casualties for the whole tournament, that's less than 2 a game.
Yeah, I had more than that.
Mm-hmm. Michael had 1 less than that.
God, Man, that's crazy with Renegades.
Chance had that many.
Mm-hmm.
Drew had more than that.
Yeah, I think I had 17, but I
you had 17.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nick had 9. 18 against.
Yeah, he really was cold on his injuries the whole time he said that. That I had won a game.
I had negative 22 casualties overall.
Oof. Wow.
And yeah. just like, that's and tough. I was still in the games, but I just, when you're that low on players. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess good thing you played the more lineman version and not the stars.
That's for sure.
Or you would have had nobody.
Although the highest ranked Norse squad took the star Yeti.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They took Skorg Snowpelt? That's yep. cool. Hmm. Fun.
So that'll be something to look into later on.
I saw that team
when
I was looking through the teams. I think I put it in my notes as one I thought was cool.
Man.
That's crazy. You ended up at the top.
And if I remember correctly, that's a great story, too. Because the guy who took it, his brother passed, and it was his brother's team.
Oh,
so
wow.
he took it to honor him and ended up winning the whole thing. Ford Norse, having the highest Norse,
sure.
not the whole thing,
yeah.
but yeah,
right, very cool.
So that was awesome.
I mean, not that his brother passed.
Well, no,
that Jeez. Tribute. Yes.
Also,
yeah, so,
these two teams didn't give us anything.
Yeah, I got some dice.
Did you
from one of them? Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get anything from either one.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, I don't expect, like, you don't have to give us stuff.
No one
but
has to do that.
Most people seem to.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And then the final round.
Yeah. So we have now still 4 wins, but 3 losses and a draw. So we can't do better than you guys did last time, but
mm-hmm.
we need to win a game to be at, you know, over half wins.
Yeah.
Which is definitely another goal. And also, we were playing at table 76 in round 9, so we need to win to have any chance of making the top quarter, which I know is another big goal for us.
Mm-hmm.
So in round 9, we played another UK team called Blood and Tears.
Were they UK, though?
Well, I don't... It was kind of a mixture.
Yeah, actually. Because I'm pretty sure what they were is they were a PS4 league.
Oh, really? Place. Okay.
They were a league,
I didn't know
a
that.
Team of PlayStation players.
Oh, cool.
And they were from all over. So I know TJ Jackson, he was friends with some of them. I think
Gaia.
There was a UK guy. I think my opponent
was
US.
Oh, so your guy was from the US?
I'm pretty sure. Like, so I wasn't sure if like this counted as a US team or not, but if someone's part of that team... And can tell us what your makeup was, please do, because we're kind of curious. We didn't get that full info.
When I was searching out all the players who were listed as U.S., nobody was on this team.
Oh, well, maybe I'm misspoken.
The guy I played, though, was, like, one of his parents is from the U.S.
Okay.
And one from the U.K., and he lived there. So maybe it was a situation like that. Or
Possibly.
Maybe they're from the U.S., but they just list themselves as... From wherever they live now and live somewhere else?
I
don't know.
Honestly don't know. So,
like in our round 3 matchup against that Spanish team, the guy I was playing was like originally from Basque region, but he's listed as a U.S. player because he's lived in the U.S. for like 4 or 5 years now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that was like 5 Spanish players and 1 U.S. player technically.
Huh.
On that squad.
All right. Well, this one, we actually did get a win, so.
Yes, yeah.
Thank God.
We had 2 wins and 3 draws and a loss, and this came down really to your match because it was the last one, and it really, like, you needed to hold on for the win for us to win and not draw.
Yeah, and I was playing a halfling team, which you should be like, oh, sweet, I get to beat up halflings.
Yeah,
not so much. I mean, I did get some, but... It was in the rain, and the dude ended up throwing a halfling, landing, picking up the ball in the rain and in a tackle zone, and then dodge out, sprint 3 times, and scored a touchdown.
Yeah, and then had another chance to throw another halfling on the very last turn to tie it up.
On the very, very last turn, he only had 3 halflings and 3 trees at that point, I think. And... he just wasn't able to do it. He was out of rerolls. Luckily, his chef completely blew it. First half, he got nothing. And second half, he got one.
Oh, yeah, that's fortunate.
So that was very big.
Yeah, yep. Very big, because it got us to the five wins we were after.
Yeah.
At least. So that was
five wins, one tie, three losses. Puts us overall 99th out of, what was it?
372,
yeah. Which is like 27%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't quite make the top 25, but very close. And in the top 100 teams.
Yeah. We all feel like we could have done better. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah. But I do consider it a success.
Yeah.
We were the third highest U.S. team, too. So
that's good.
That was nice. And one U.S. team did very well. They were even playing on, I think, like table four or something in one of the last rounds.
Mm-hmm.
The Syndicate, which are a lot of guys, I guess, that I know a lot of the members of that team. And
well, I live
awesome
with one
to
of them.
See him do so well. Yeah, right. yeah, that's true.
Two of their players, at least, I didn't check fully. Craig, the guy I live with, and then TJ Jackson, another friend here in Colorado. I appears to have gone, I know Craig did, I don't know about TJ, but they had the same number of points as I did. So four wins and five losses overall. They just had higher tiebreakers because they played better opponents, and not much I can do about that.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing is, like, even overall, like, we are 99th with 11 points. Mm-hmm. Our team score was 55. Our opponent's score was 85. Not sure exactly how that works out. So, like, our team score is probably a combination of our individual scores. But
sure.
The highest in the 11 points was 66 points for the team score. And that would put us at 71.
Yeah.
So we could have been up that high with our record. So it's kind of like we're in the top quarter. Just
right. We have the same amount of team points as teams in the top quarter.
Yeah. And just overall team score too low to get us there.
Sure. Yep.
As a squad, our opponent score is 85. That's kind of low, but there are teams at the 11-point era. Like number 83 has a 76 opponent score. Someone has an 84. So there's other ones that have lower than us that are higher than us. So they seem to have easier opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Not by much. We had 64 touchdowns for, 50 against. So it's a positive 14 differential. And then we had a casualty for of 90 and a casualty against of 115 for a casualty net of negative 25.
I blame you for that, Steve.
Oh, yeah. 22 of that is me. And
I'm playing Skaven. A lot of it was me.
Yeah. You had negative 8. Nick had negative 9. Michael had negative 2. Chance has positive 10. And Drew had positive 6.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, we're crunchy.
Yeah.
And we did not show up anywhere on individual records for any of the awards. So, unlike last time where I was like number 3 for most touchdowns, there was no point of possible getting an award for any of us, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, Drew finished moderately high overall, and also fairly high on the Amazons with, I think, it 4 wins and 4 draws and a loss. So,
and he only had that loss on the final round.
I thought it was the round 8 that he lost in.
I thought it was the last one.
Oh, maybe you're right.
Because I thought that was the main thing.
He was the only loss of that round.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crazy.
And I know.
Yeah, that is right.
He said that he mentally was getting fatigued with rounds 8 and 9, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know of all my games, game 1, I could have played better, but I was tired and wasn't feeling well. I was sick that first day and a half.
Right.
So I probably could have done something better there. But it wasn't really until game eight where I knew I made mistakes.
And
it was just like, how did I forget that? What am I doing? What the hell's going on? And it's just fatigue. You know, you're not used to playing 9 games. And, you know, again, it's one of the great things about Alicante is we finish at 8. We get back to the place at 9. Everything is still open, you know. And
yeah, everything's like just opening.
Yeah.
It's Spain.
So we go eat dinner. We come back. We might go to bed at midnight. I didn't sleep more than 5 hours a day, probably the whole time I was there.
Sure.
Now, I'm paying for that now for sure. But,
yeah.
So mentally we're not at our highest level. And then it just wears on you. But overall, I think we did great. We had a lot to be proud of. We absolutely could have done better, but that's Blood Bowl for you. You know, there's not a lot we can do sometimes.
Right. Yep. I guess, should we mention, like, the winner of this, too?
Probably worth it. Of the whole thing? Might as well.
Yeah, yeah. So the overall champions were Les Aziz, I think is how it is, French team, who beat kind of the favorite team, who was at the top all day, Kukuripau, which is the Dulac brothers team it was kind of expected to dominate the tournament and really did until the very end when they lost to a different French team. So they ended up second.
And to be fair, if you look at the team score, Kukuripau has 80, which is the highest.
Yes.
And then Azez is 73, which is the second highest. Well, actually, no. There's a...
Yeah, I don't even think they're second highest.
No, there's Procedimiento Ilegal at 79, but they came in 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but they were the only team to get 8 wins in a tie because they had 17 points.
Right.
They were undefeated.
Yeah, amazing.
That's insane. So it went France, and then Italy.
Yes.
Which is...
And then I believe the UK team, all the President's Men, was 4th.
And then Canadian, I think, Red Leaf Mercenaries, right?
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. American team up there.
Yeah.
Super high.
May not be America, but I mean, it's North America.
Right. Probably, I think, the highest a North American team has ever finished.
I mean, it would have to be, pretty much.
Have to be, right? Yeah.
I don't know. So it's hard to get records of some of the older ones.
Sure.
I'm sure someone has them. I've been trying to track stuff down for a while, and it's just not easy.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we could maybe get into the specifics of, like, the rosters on the winning team and so forth and all that, you know, in the future. But thought it was worth, you know, people turn it into the first post-tournament episode might want to know who won.
Yeah, overall, it was a great time. Oh, and overall for races, do we want to get into that? Like, the main take, we'll probably discuss more of that later, but my main takeaway is Korn came in 2nd.
Yeah, yes.
There
was a lot of Korn teams, really. I mean, way more than I would have thought, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just impressive.
Yeah.
Because they didn't take anything fancy. They just took a lot of block and just...
Yep, pretty, like, I played a Korn team in, I think, our round 6 match, and the roster was hardly different. I think my guy had one wrestler instead of one of the blocks, and he had an extra arms, Korn Gore, and I mean, it's almost the exact same list.
It's pretty amazing.
But if you're extremely good with Frenzy, Korn is can be a good team.
Yeah.
You know, if things go your way. So, Lizardman was the top individual team, right?
Yeah, which I also think is surprising.
Yeah, a little bit, but, you know, all that stuff, like, it's a little bit hairy because what squad, what's their squad rank, and, you know, who are they playing and all that, but still, you know, having that many points, regardless of what that is still impressive. Every time.
So, overall, I think everything went exceedingly well.
Yeah.
to get to the communication issues. The awards ceremony was kind of not the best because we didn't know who was winning what because there was no visual component to it. Mm-hmm. It was all auditory.
The PA system was kind of a problem too the whole weekend. It was very echoey and hard to understand, and especially, you know, when they're doing the announcements in English, but not a native English speaker. And then combined with the way the PA system was, it was just, I found the audio announcements to be very difficult to parse.
Yeah. That's a huge deal. Is like, maybe they need to have a native English speaker doing the English parts and a native Spanish person doing the Spanish parts, et cetera.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that person was clearly excellent with their English.
It's the slight
accent combined with how bad the PA system sounded made it hard to understand. It was more the PA system than anything.
For sure, yeah.
I just, like you said, I wish they would have used the screens more to put, like, the award winners up on the screens and stuff. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I ran up to the front. You followed with me, and I was all set to take photos of everyone and tell us who got what, but it wasn't there. Like, so it was just taking photos of people or raising stuff, and I had no clue what they were getting.
You're right. Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go sit down.
Yeah. So we actually left before they announced everything because...
You don't need to tell people that.
Oh, you're right. But we were definitely there the entire time, no matter what.
No, we were tired, and we're like, we can't hear what's going on, and we don't know what's going on, so let's just get a head on out to the hotel.
Yes. Yep.
So for your first World Cup, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, overall, they did a great job. It was amazing to be at such a large event for Blood Bowl, you know? I mean, like 10 times the size of anything I've ever been to before, and really 10 times the size of most large tournaments. So I thought, by and large, they couldn't have done a much better job without doing it perfectly. Like, there were a couple of minor things, but none of those minor things turned into major things at all.
And so that's all you want.
They were more like, yeah.
You don't want major things. Like, I am perfectly fine that our complaints are the food wasn't great, the communication wasn't great. You know what that means? Everything else was perfect.
Yes. Or, and even, like, the food thing, it's like, the free food wasn't great, but they had backup plans for that, and those worked fine.
We did seem to have an extra lull between rounds 1 and 2, or
times.
2 and 3 on the third day.
Yes.
It was like, this is that taking
a little
extra.
Yeah, that did happen. I had that written down, too.
Made no mention of why, and it wasn't super long, so it wasn't a huge deal, but it was there.
Yeah, it definitely made me feel nervous, like, oh, no. Was there a big disaster, like, right at the end?
Yeah.
But they got it sorted, so whatever it was. There was also a pretty big lull between round 1 and round 2, which is always kind of your first real hurdle, since you kind of have all those other matchups already pre-announced, so that's your first random pairing, in a sense.
Yeah,
that,
I don't...
Like, in the wild, but...
I don't think I noticed that because I was busy talking to people and eating and looking at the vendors and stuff.
Yeah, day one ended up going over for a couple of reasons, just because the queuing at the beginning went a little long, and then it went a little farther into the lunch period than it was supposed to for that first round or second round, but they didn't go too late. I think that day was done at like 9 instead of 8. So
yeah.
Not too bad.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I'd say overall they did a fantastically amazing job.
Absolutely.
They definitely, none of the things that I feared might have happened, and they really, by and large, knocked it out of the park.
Yes. And again, like, I'm trying to think of other issues, but there wasn't really anything major. You know, the facility was amazing, I thought.
Yeah, excellent. And I love the way they did their setup, too, with the vendors kind of, you know, on the sides of the tournament. It really had kind of a pseudo convention feel with all the vendors there and the way the booths were set up. So
yeah, and everything was in one space, and we had more than enough room.
Yeah, there were tons of unused tables. I mean,
and that was great.
Like, they could add 20, 30 more tables if they needed to.
I mean, we could have doubled the amount of players we had, probably.
Close anyway. I mean, there probably could have been 3,500, 4,000 players in that space.
Like, I don't want it to go to the same place again, but if Alicante put in another bid, it'd be hard to say they couldn't handle it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, clearly they could.
Again, there was some... This is our personal view, so if you have your own complaints and stuff, we're happy to hear them. We won't rat out your name or anything. We're just wanting to get true, honest feedback. I know there was some people who felt the venue got hot at times.
It did a little, I think.
I didn't personally feel that.
Not overly so.
But also, I was just kind of, you know, we kind of expect it because there's so many people.
Yes. I felt it more got kind of humid than hot. I never felt like hot.
Yeah.
But I always, stuffy. By the end of the day, seemed very sweaty compared to what I normally would be.
That's true. That's a good way of putting it. I know some people complained about the transportation and the location of the venue because it was like 30 minutes out of town.
Yeah. And maybe we just got lucky, like you said, with which bus we happened to be on, where we got there in plenty of time, but not a lot early. So,
and, you know, we did get there. I mean, we consistently had an hour and some each day before the round started.
Yeah.
So that's just how it went. And I can see some people being annoyed by that. I would like to have slept in, trust me.
Sure. Yeah.
But c'est la vie. I think that's the main complaints I heard, then the food and the communication. I know everyone outside of the World Cup was wanting to know how things were going. Going this long before we got results seems excessive, especially since they had to have known who had the top teams and top squads.
Right,
and
they
top
had that
races
obviously.
And stuff.
They gave the awards out.
Exactly. That should have been immediate. You know,
yeah,
it was written down somewhere. You could have just copied and pasted it and thrown it on a website or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, again, I had an amazing time. I know most of our squad had an amazing time. I think everybody did. It's just great to do.
Yeah, and I mean, it's awesome to be around. You have so many fans of Blood Bowl. And, I mean, even... like some of the players that we played where their team didn't end up doing good. Like those were hard matches against players who seemed like competent to me, like very quality players, even finishing, you know, lower or whatever. Like it's not like they were bad. Like I didn't find a lot of my matches to be easy.
I had the one, but that was, that's expected when she got tricked into playing.
You're right.
But even then she was Wood Elves and she was doing stuff and it worked. So it was like, there was still a chance. It was scarier than it should have been.
Sure.
But overall, absolutely amazing experience. Very happy that everything went without a hitch. I was very concerned and I'm very glad to be proved wrong.
Yes. I know one thing that was in the swag stuff that I'd never really looked at or realized what it was until I got home was, Did you really like see this like skills list that they made? Because I didn't even notice it. It was just like this pamphlet that says World Cup, and I didn't really even open it. I wish I would have realized what this was. It's a list of every skill in four different languages.
Yes,
like, this would have been so useful. I just didn't even know I had it.
Someone had that during a round that I was playing, but yeah, I never looked at it. None of the other opponents looked at it. That's one thing again, like Dornburn. With their magazine that they had, basically, was amazing.
Sure.
You know, and that was sizable to where you looked at it. And this one, I think, I just put it to the side. I didn't really look at it.
Yeah. I know there were multiple matches where it's like, you know, my opponent's trying to come up with how you say armbar in English.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's right here. I should have just had this. And I did, but I just didn't realize it. So I wish I would have put together what this was, because it's awesome.
And again, that can be a failing on us for not looking at our swag.
Yeah.
But also, there should have been some communication that saying, hey, everybody, you've got this in your swag, look at it, and you'll be able to better communicate with people.
Right, yeah. And maybe they did over the loudspeaker, and I just couldn't understand it, but I don't think so.
Don't think so, but yeah.
But yeah, anyway, I love the event. Thought it was great. No real complaints whatsoever. Other right. than I wish I could have personally done a little better. I felt like I could have done more for the team, but...
Well, you did better than I did, you
know, so... Yeah, by, like, the tiniest margin, yes.
Yeah, our squad went 12 points, 11 points, 10 points, 9 points, 8 points, 5 points.
Yeah.
So, crazy. Obviously, unfortunately, Michael did pull up the rear. Mm-hmm. He objectively had the worst team, so that was kind of to be expected.
Sure.
I really felt I should have done better than I did, but it is what it is, you know.
Yeah, you did win more games than I won.
What was your record at the end?
I had 3 wins, 3 draws, and 3 losses.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
The nice thing about that is I contributed 0.6 of the rounds,
yeah,
which is good, but I definitely wanted to win more than 3 games.
Okay, that's fair.
But it is what it is.
It does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get more into that. We'll get more into the overall winners, our bets, our breakdown of rosters, maybe have Drew on, maybe have some other people from the tour, you know. I know, like, I'm pretty sure that some of the top players are fans of this podcast.
Sure.
Because I know the best Slon team is a friend of ours.
That's right.
Core got best Slon.
And honestly, when I was looking through all the rosters, his roster just looked the best. It was different than everybody else's and seemed just way better design.
Yeah.
And also, I know we did Slon and Wood Elves kind of near the end, and I feel like those are probably the 2 races we missed the most. But I guess we can... that's what I thought going into the event. I'll look at it more now that we actually know how people did. But
did you get a chance to see what the highest ranking Vampire team was?
I haven't yet, no.
I want to look at that real quick.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting.
277.
That's pretty good.
They had 12 points.
Wow, yeah, it's great.
And
that's like about where our best player finished. So
279. So right beneath them.
Yeah.
314, 483, so then they start getting lesser and lesser.
That's still, like, all those are top quarter.
Yeah.
So a lot of successful Vampire players. But I guess you'd expect that, like, if there's 11 Vampire teams, at least, like, 4 or 5 of them are probably players who really are good with Vampires.
Yeah, you would think. Only makes sense. Lizardmen, Khorne, Shambling Undead, Lizardmen, Dark Elf, Underworld Denizens, Necro, Lizardman, Skaven. That's the top 10.
Mm, sure. A lot of Lizardmen.
4 Lizardmen in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, you know, like we said before, those are the individual points leaders, and those don't always align with squads that performed well.
No, you know, I mean, the opponent
frequently
scores...
easy to have a lot of points when your squad has very few.
Yeah, the top lizard man is Zed, who was on Joe mm-hmm. Penny's thighs. That's the squad name. We talked to them. Yes. So.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, I got dice from them.
Well, I got dice from them as well.
Yeah.
So, if they would like to let us know how they did so well, we're happy to hear it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They beat the other teams. That's how they did so well.
Right.
There you go.
And you know, even it, like I said before, even if your squad score is kind of lower, and it's still hard to win all those matches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still an accomplishment to be at the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regardless. So
lowest person had -7 points.
Right. So they must have had a concession.
I'm guessing so. They have some 0 points, I think. The guy who was running it, Ulvidar, mm-hmm. he had a game, I guess.
Oh, he must have had to fill in.
Must have.
Sure.
I'm trying to see if I know anyone down here at the bottom. Sarah Connor.
Yeah, that was the lowest person I recognized.
2182.
I thought she had an awesome NAF name. So.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Yeah.
Like I said, she was nice.
Yeah.
But overall... with the Wood Elf team, she was -7 on touchdowns.
Right. Yeah.
So that's not great.
Not what you're looking for.
There was a squad called Two Girls, One Cup.
Yes.
Not excited about that.
Yeah. Would you call that both down approved squad name?
Not quite, no.
That's not even a three die block approved squad name, so.
Like, I'm not big on forcing people to change names, but that's one where I'd be like, well, come on, guys, let's not do that.
Yeah, it's borderline. You gotta be Team Meat Spin, you know? That's like...
Yeah. Okay, well, let's wrap this up, and like I said, we'll have plenty more episodes to come to talk about more aspects of the tournament, but very happy to be home, very happy to have went, and it's just weird that it's over.
Yeah, so strange it's in the rear view. Yeah.
I know. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off and say goodbye, and you can have the last word.
And we'll go with the hasta luego. Adios.
Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Alicante, a joint podcast between 3 Die Block and Both Down. For more information, check out World Cup Report Blood Bowl on Facebook, WC Report BB on Twitter, or email us at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.